I'm Nancy Price. I live in Davis, California. I was a co-organizer of the Earth Rights Global Democracy Conference for this, and I'm with Liberty Tree and also with the Alliance for Democracy.
Do you know Betty Price? Do you know Betty Price?
Betty Parsons?
I'm Sue Peters. I'm from New York. I'm a member of two organizations. One is the American Monetary Institute. We gave 5 panels on the money system. And I'm also a member of the National Organization of Raw Materials, which supports family farms and tries to educate people about the economics of family farms.
My name is Tara Ingram. My name is Tara Ingram, and I live in the Sierra foothills in Northern California, a small town. And I am my regular work is a psychologist, but I do a volunteer work for Move to Amend.
Oh, I forgot that. Move to Amend.
Well, it's great to be in this group with you. For the next 45 minutes or so, we're going to be discussing, drawing on our experiences, your personal experience. We're going to engage in a discussion that we've been in for the last 5 days. What is our vision for the world that we want? How do we codify this vision into rights under a new constitution and or amendments to the existing constitution? How do we engage in electoral politics? How do we engage in building the new institution our society needs? That's a lot of stuff. And we have a wonderful note taker here that's going to make sure we get everything. I'm hard of hearing, so please project. And if I mumble, because I'm from Texas, that happens, let me know. And we'll support each other and be successful in this process. I have a proposal, since there's so many questions here that we need to engage with in such a short amount of time. My proposal is that we just take one question at a time until we feel exhausted with that, and then move to the next. If we venture out into the other questions, it's fine, but just so we can move forward.
I wonder if we could prioritize the questions. Can we? Because we might not get to all of them. What do you think?
Let's just go with the last question.
Are we going to use this stuff?
Let's keep it popcorn, and if it becomes difficult, then we'll go for that. But we're here to support each other to have this process be successful and viable.
I want to know why fellow progressives are not using cable television and YouTube as much as we could.
That's good. I think that's not. We can find ways to incorporate that into these questions as a tactic that may not be.
It speaks to the last question.
Okay.
Can we read them again? Sorry.
Yeah, so that's what I'm going to do. If we all agree that we just go down the process, the first question is, what is our vision for the world we want?
I would like to see, as we restructure our decision-making processes, I would like to see political design set up to reflect the geographical ecosystems so that decisions are made that are more easily taken into consideration the impact on the ecology.
I want to see every American having a decent income that they earn, which means a strong economy for everybody.
I'd like to see, in a perfect world, decision making conducted at no larger a group than is necessary. So if it's a small, are we going to dam this stream? Only people who are affected by that and can represent groups that are affected by that talk about that instead of having to have a large group weigh in on that. So appropriately sized decision making, anarcho-syndicalism, if you will.
However, keep in mind that when you dam a stream, you're not just affecting the people that are around that.
That's why I said people who can represent
represent
the interests that will be affected by. beavers.
Down the street.
I represent the beavers. I represent the people who use the water downstream.
I would love to see the vast majority of people in worker-owned cooperatives rather than in corporations designed to extract wealth to the owners. So I'd love it if our society and our legal structure made worker-owned cooperatives the easiest thing to set up, very simple and easy. And for the entire C corporation, the definition of C corporation to be eliminated at all, like there should be no entity in existence whose sole purpose is profit.
You know that the licenses.
I think co-housing is part of what will improve things. My friends, some of my friends live in Monterey co-housing community here in St. Louis Park. Others are setting up a new co-housing group that I hope I can be a part of. But you know what co-housing is?
It's intentional community.
More than a cooperative. You actually dine together at least once a week, probably more.
Okay.
And you're really looking. There is a village to help our children grow.
So it's semi-communal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the first.
Can you remind me of your name?
Bill. Weir.
Thank you, Bill.
W-E-I-R.
With or without
my name. Your name?
Sue Peters.
Yes.
Sue Peters.
I wanted to say that corporations in this country were initially only reluctantly allowed to operate. They were given a corporate license, I think the term maybe. I don't know.
Charter.
Charter.
And I think we're good enough on that.
Historically, I agree. Yeah.
I would like to see a world where all of our groups and institutions are grounded in an anti-oppression framework that recognizes the long history up to the present day of genocide, war, oppression, everyday actions to ensure that there is equity and that historical injustices are no longer tolerated to fester any of our relationships, that we radically change how we interrelate and we center Indigenous peoples, that we center their teachings and cultural traditions, and we affirm the rights of the people.
The human right to water, safe, sufficient, and affordable amount of water for human personal and household use, amended into the Constitution or codified into the Constitution. And I support a declaration of the human of the rights of nature in some way, as Bolivia and Ecuador have done.
Protection and expansion of the public commons.
You can catch up, Belinda.
I just want to tackle the racial education, and you know, really, we need some sort of a truth and reconciliation in America, because it's something that most Americans don't face at all.
Which could include reparations.
Absolutely.
One quick question before my comment. The last thing you said was affirm the rights of
Mother Earth.
Thank you. Yes. And the primacy of living beings and living systems over profit as a foundational guideline.
Seeking level rather than some kind of archaic robbery.
to amend the comment about the rights of nature, the rights of Mother Earth, that ecosystems have a right to thrive and survive. That's a very compelling way to put that, I think.
So we feel good. We have kind of collectively spoken to what our visions are, and it highlights specific issues. But the underlying part of the foundation is that rights of all life is respected and considered in decision. So there's rights of crops, air, water, humans, the way we live, all of it. It's connected. So if that's an acceptable kind of broad stroke of what we said.
Well, I hope we'll have enough detail to include an intersectional anti-oppression framework in that.
With that, I would like to force to hold that and really acknowledge what we brought to this space. And now let's move into the next question of how do we codify this vision into rights under a new constitution and or amendments to the existing constitution?
Well, it's not Nancy who's going there.
Well, we were having a conversation at the earlier sort of turn and talk session, and some of us were saying that it might be good if we start at the community level and work up so that we bring some of these concepts and rights and however they're codified into municipal charters or are brought into some legal framework at the community level, the state level. I mean, in California in 2012, we finally got the human right to water amended into the state water code after 4 years of work. So it might be that if we begin at these sort of lower levels, incrementally building up these rights at those levels, then we can coalesce that kind of movement into a amending the Constitution movement, you know, down the road. But I think it would be both education mobilizing and sort of accomplishment campaign that could really yield fruit across fertilize.
I think that we should break from the fortunate myopic vision of this country and look at the examples of other countries that have recently been revising their constitutions.
Right.
Because we have some really strong examples, countries like Ecuador.
Right.
That currently issue our money as debt. Now, we have the group I work with, the American Monetary Institute. We support Dennis Kucinich's bill. Now, I don't know, we could put the bill into the Constitution, but he has a bill to take that power to issue our money, our commons of money, away from the private banks and put it back to the government. But that's already in the Constitution, that the government issues our money, but it's not, that power was taken away. So I don't know how you want to do that. It's a law. It has to be in the law, whether it's in the Constitution or in some law that we pass. It's legal. It's definitely legal.
Can you say again what needs to be in the law, specifically like a one sentence?
To take the power to issue our money away from private commercial banks and give it back to the government where it was.
So
in
take
the
private banks
out of
it.
Constitution.
Yeah. Okay.
Would you say, is it fair to say, from your perspective, that the main advantage of doing that would be to bypass the idea of paying private banks interest on money that they created for us?
Well, what that does is, number one, they don't get interest in all of our money, which is our commons, right? That's right. But even more, think of it, these private corporations are deciding who gets our money. The small businessman goes in, they say no, 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 no. These corporations go in, they give them billions of dollars of loans. So they're deciding who gets the money right now. That's one. And the other one from my other group, the NORM group, the National Organization of Raw Materials, the Family Farmers, they did have a law that passed Congress. This group had a law that passed Congress from 1942 to 1952 that gave farmers a fair price for their production. So what that meant was, according to the law in the Congress, the crops of the farmers in this country, they were giving what they said a parity price, which meant the purchasing power that was in that price was equal to the purchasing power of manufacturers, of late workers, of retailers. It was a fair price. And there was prosperity from 42 to 52. People didn't go into debt, right? What happened in 52, that law went out of existence, and the people who came into the federal government, into the policy positions for the farmers, were part really of the banking institutions in this country, and they brought in free trade and undercut all the prices for the farm products that our farmers were making. And they did that. So we need to bring back that law to give, if you give the farmers a fair price for their produce, that they can spend it on their tractors, they can spend it on their labor, they can spend it in the retail stores, in the rural community. And that income goes through the whole economy. So we need to bring back that law, the parity price law.
When we look at our political system, I think we see that power goes back and forth between federal and state government, depending upon advantages to whoever's in power at the time, you know. And I think in light of the bioregionalism that this gentleman talked about, we would really need to look closely at our state boundaries, the way that we're currently structured, in any kind of constitutional rewrite or amendment to, I would personally like to abolish all state boundaries, but I don't know if that's a possibility or not, and it's part of my vision. That's why I'm trying to change. Well, actually, I would abolish all national boundaries as well. But we're not quite that far in yet.
As we abolish these kind of boundaries, we still have to have a decision-making process, so we have to have groups come together and
ecologically, yeah. So what this gentleman was saying about the decision-making group, yeah, and then also basically, bioregionally is usually how
sounds like what you were saying was currently we use political and power. We make decisions about boundaries based on politics and power, or basically on power.
Money.
And so, which is a form, yeah, which is a form of power. But we really need to be making them based on an ecological, the bioregional decisions.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, actually, I mean, really right now, all issues are whatever's more convenient for the conservatives. So, you know,
power.
State power, you know, the states want more power so that they can decide, you know, right to life, right to choice. You know, they want to shut down abortion, so they would use state rights for that because they can't control the federal, but then at the federal level they're going to come in and do something else, you know, and usurp the power of the state. So, I mean, it kind of goes back to the border, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And it's not serving us that way.
Envision having the Medicare for All as outlined by Senator John Marty of Minnesota in his book, Healing Healthcare. I will be speaking on this book at Minnesota Futurist this coming Saturday and inviting Senator Marty to come at a future meeting.
Pen like a Sharpie or something like that, and I could use this big paper. I could try to, I was hoping for like a Sharpie.
Oh, she's got one.
I think that'll work. It's better than this. Yeah, marker. I should have
worked. You want to hold it?
Well, I'm going to try to take it. That would be great. Thank you. oh my gosh. What I want to try to do is see if I can summarize what we've talked about for the vision and for what so far we've kind of talked about that should be codified into the Constitution and summarize them on here and see if I've missed something or if there's other things to add. Does that sound all right?
they'll take me a couple minutes. I can't take notes while I do that, but
I something maybe we don't need to take notes on, but I don't know as much about our current constitution as I wish I did. So maybe,
well, nature's not in there.
It's a property rights document that doesn't include any form of human rights or rights of the earth. And
what is it?
It basically protects the property rights of those who already
like specifics on how the Senate and the House are set up.
All we're told about is the separation of powers, and that's, you know, look over here at that, because that's the greatest thing ever. But the history of the Constitution was, it came about because previous documents, including the Articles of Confederation, treated the United States as a United States. A state is a political entity of its own. Their colonies became states. They were independent. They were just federated together, mostly to resist further colonization. We're here now. It's ours. We're not letting them out. Basically. But it did not protect the rights of large landowners, largely, to own property in other states and have that property be respected. Because, you know, if you're a small landowner, your land's right here, all it is your neighbors protect you from getting your land taken from you. But if you're a large landowner, you own land in the next colony or state, and you want to be able to own that land instead of people there just saying, hey, that person's in Virginia, listen, in Maryland, we're just going to take it. So the Constitution is primarily to protect interstate property rights, including slave rights, rights to own slaves, and the rights to conduct business from one state to the next, and have your profit flow back and have your property flow in those states, and you as the property owner would be protected. That's the primary reason for that.
So maybe my bigger question is, should we even look at the existing Constitution as a like skeleton, or should we just forget it completely?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, that was my big question.
I think it's a kind of a dance between both, because it's my interpretation of the vision is like, what do we want to see in this world? We have issues. You know, we talk about those, but what at the foundation do we want to see in the world? And I think that it came out, and everyone, we tried to highlight it. It's actually the right for everyone and everything to live free from pain and suffering, free from oppression, free from living under the roof. And so if that's our goal, if that's our vision of the world that we want to create, knowing that the way things get protected in this land, in the United States, is to be in the sacred document of what we call the Constitution. How do we get our visions represented in that so corporations, the states, so politicians, or individuals or groups take away that right?
So in terms of sections, it sounds like we want a primary section to be rights. Human rights and environmental rights. So that's maybe the main portion, but I'm guessing that we may want to have some other sections. What other sections would we think about?
I think how power is distributed is very important. Mm-hmm. Decentralization is very important. I think we've seen whenever you collect any amount of resources, power or money or however you want to do it, in one place, it attracts the worst scum in your society to rise up and figure out ways to shave that off into other things. You've got to treat all people as people and not as metaphors. So if someone comes to you and says, we are representing the earth, or we are native peoples, so let us just make this decision in a vacuum. They can be corrupted too if power is there to corrupt. You only have to look at the history of the Southwest and see how native governments were totally corrupted by coal companies, uranium companies, casino management companies, and horrible things.
In the visioning part, and we'll let you know when those 10 minutes is up to move to the how do we get. Okay, 10 minutes.
Rights, which does bring in human rights. And so that is one aspect.
opens up, everything. Because maybe if we protect the things that we really like and we just get added what we want, maybe we're safer. I'm not sure. But that's what I'm sort of thinking.
So I'm, like, this is just a question for the group. I would love to try and envision the perfect document rather than seeing what incremental changes we can make. But
that's
I want
to
ask...
Month. That's the next process. So we are in that envisioning, and then in 10 minutes we're supposed to go to that.
Thank you.
Okay, great.
Did you have a question?
No, I don't.
I don't remember hearing yet anything to do with education.
Oops, I'm so sorry.
Could we envision provisions that at least by state all colleges, government-owned colleges,
or just broadly a right to education to whatever level you can personally achieve.
And I think
through your college,
it's free education, free access to education. Whether the tools of the mechanism has delivered.
Would that mean federal government going into private colleges and universities?
That wouldn't be in any constitution. Any constitution has that level of detail. It's going to be 4,000 pages long. In the constitution, you just want to say the right of all people, not even all citizens, but all people living within that country have a right to education to whatever level they can choose to attain.
Not true.
They're not required to go to college.
Have the capacity to.
Exactly. Have the capacity, and they still have to be competent to try for a business PhD.
Yeah, something else that occurred to me is truth and reconciliation. And there's really nothing here about history, but as we're envisioning the future, somehow this country needs to heal from all of the racial injustice that has happened in the past, and reparations need to be made. And so how do we incorporate that into anything that we do going forward?
I think we need to get beyond reparations, because this is our pie-in-the-sky document. If we have a society where everyone can access resources they need to live, to projects that they want to do, get as much education as they want, farm if they want to farm, then what are reparations going to be? Because reparations are basically, we're going to take away from this stuff that we own, and now you're going to own it. Whereas I want to envision a different way of owning, not have a society built on owning, but a society built on from each according to their needs, blah, blah, blah. But,
I agree. I just want to point out that what she brought was a healing process.
Part is different. That's the truth and reconciliation.
Yeah, I just wanted the language, not that you intentionally did. The language came, it sounded like it said no to her idea.
No, I was talking about the other group.
You're talking about reparations as being unnecessary if we have an equal society, and I guess I'm saying part of the healing process in acknowledging past wrongs is a process of reparations, and that may not be writing a check. It may be something else, and I don't know what that looks like offhand, but I don't see anyone in this circle that has that voice to say, what?
I'm part Native American.
Also in terms of racial justice, there's no descendants of African Americans, of Africans enslaved in this country. So I think that's an issue. I don't know what that reparations would look like in a society, but I think they should have a voice in what those reparations might look like.
Just visioning reparations not defined in a certain way.
Right.
But there needs to be a healing process.
Right.
And we need to go further than what I would apparently.
Yes, I just thought reparations sounds like the next step is how do we get to the society we're envisioning.
Do we have enough in there about stopping climate change?
We have stopping.
Can I take one question?
Yeah.
I think we need something in there that limits the charters of corporations. It goes back to the original visioning of what corporations' life personhood was, you know, that they had. I forget what the original vision was about that, but I mean, they had a limited charter, and the charter had to be renewed.
Right. They had to serve the public good.
Had to serve the public good. And in fact, the United Nations has a document, I'm not sure what it is at the moment, that that requires that corporations respect human rights. So, I mean, it's already in the United Nations, one of the United Nations documents. So, I mean, I think we need to go back to how we charter corporations. They have a limited life, and et cetera, et cetera. Act in the public good.
I'm going to pause for a second because you had a vision with this. Do we need to do anything with this now?
We can. Just as, I guess as we're wrapping this piece up, I don't have these pieces in it, but I could do that. Although some of them are already there. So, in a way, these two blend together, but this was the first question. Should I read it?
Do you want me to hold it up?
Yeah. Kind of summarizing the different ones together. Primacy of living beings, Mother Earth, and ecosystem. Anti-oppression framework, centralizing indigenous and other oppressed peoples. Accountability for history, like a truth and reconciliation. Decision-making at lowest level necessary, including everyone who's who will be affected, or representatives, I mean, representing everybody who will be affected.
And everything.
Right to clean water, living income, protect and expand the commons, economic and housing models that support community, for example, co-housing, worker-owned co-ops.
We had a health care up to living income, right to clean water, living income.
Yeah,
education.
And health care's over here. So these
education.
Two maybe need to be blended, yeah. But because there's some cross. So when we shifted to the second question, these were some of the things that came out. Healthcare, and these are very summarized. Healthcare, education, looking to examples of other countries in relation to a constitutional process and content. Monetary system, needing to have a monetary system that's appropriate, but which includes not privatized, fair compensation for farms, but across the board. Process start at the local level and build up into the legal structure. So this is Nancy's. And reconsidering politically drawn boundaries with primacy of bioregionalism. I don't know if there's pieces that were discussed that are missing.
Let's see, corporate charter.
Can you say, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Corporate charter was added just to the very end there. And
like
you have something to add?
I don't think corporations, they should be in there at all.
I'd like to add labor rights.
Yes.
The rights of all workers, including those whose labor is not currently deemed worthy of pay, but nonetheless should be recognized as labor, such as home care, someone who's raising a child, or
there's some labor that
keeping
a
house.
For.
There's also obviously there's labor that's devalued in our society, like farm workers and domestic workers and sweatshop workers, and all of these workers should have explicit labor rights equal to other workers. And then there's underground economies like sex work that should also, whose workers should also be recognized and their human rights upheld. And none of the workers should be criminalized or targeted for deportation.
Right.
Unions, including union rights.
Yes.
End climate change needs to be on there.
Yeah.
Does that feel like it falls under primacy of living beings, Mother Earth, or do you feel like we need to specifically address climate change? Okay.
Can we pull that apart for a second so we can have a shared view? So if we pull that out, we're saying that with rights of nature, it means that
reparations what?
Serve.
Yeah, serve. Well, limited.
The existence.
Limited charter.
The rights of water, the rights of nature itself, is inherent to its own purpose. And then you're speaking to that we need to do something in the current plan to take on the damage that we've already done.
Yeah.
So one's kind of now forward facing, and then when you bring in, it's now cleaning out.
We're up a way over the carbon dioxide too much already. We can't live with it.
Bacteria can, they love it. Bacteria can, they love it. So are you saying that we need to protect our own ecosystem so our survival? Our
yeah.
There's lots of things that we love to more carbon dioxide.
Can you speak up a little bit? There's such an echo back there. Could you speak up?
I said there's lots of things that would love to have more carbon dioxide, and the rocks don't care at all. Talk about saving the Earth. That's BS. The Earth will go on. We're not changing it in any way that hasn't been changed already, where it hasn't already been. We need to be specific that we're talking about our own survival here.
Right.
We as a species and a species closely associated with our narrow band of you know, water, pressure, and temperature that we currently have inherited from the bacteria and algae that did a lot of work. You know, it's about us.
Right.
Let's be selfish.
Question.
It's not just us though, because you've got the Great Barrier Reef which is dying.
Vision of how we will want to, our vision of how to live in relation to Earth systems. But you're talking about address, I need help with that, if it's the past.
The second
one. Address harm already done.
I was trying to plug in.
Time to go to the second question, which I guess you already have. We're already on it.
I think what he's bringing is that there's been actions in the past that has caused this crisis that we're in, and we need to address those things that caused that. I'm going to project, but that could be addressing systemic issues, addressing factory farms, there's something that, or at least by extrapolating from that, there's something that we've done that's caused this crisis that we need to reverse as well as protecting.
And then, sorry, just two more. You had an input about this one?
Yeah, I just wanted to make it clearer.
Yeah.
That's okay. The monetary system not privatized in private banks, that's the thing.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's how it's privatized now, but it seems like being privatized at all is a problem. So I can't put it.
Yeah.
Okay.
In private banks. Banks is okay. And this one should be a separate one on here. A fair compensation called parity price for farmers. Culture, however you want to say it.
Okay.
So it's separate.
Okay. Thank you.
Also, in codifying this into the Constitution, I recommend that we also review the and borrow from the work that was done by Native societies. Governments before white people became funded, such as the Iroquois Confederacy, because there are many strong examples of democratic governance that we can learn from and put into practice.
Right, and actually, our Constitution is based on that.
So excited about this. We have the section on rights, which is primary.
Right.
But that we would also have sections on systems. So systems.
Governance.
So monetary systems, governance systems of decision making, possibly like economic systems of worker-owned cooperatives and co-ownership of land, co-ownership of housing, so that we would have secondary and more changeable parts of it that are on systems that we think will create the fairness that we want to see in society.
For agriculture. That's great, thank you.
I like that idea. It inspired thinking, and it also correlates with our last question: how do we engage in building new institutions our society needs? We can play with that a bit. What I was inspired by what you said, that gave me the idea, is maybe we, if we agree, we break out those three sections and have maybe charts or another document where we have economics, where we identify these sections, look at what our vision is and what we want to codify, and then actually work out, well, what actions do we take that actually feeds into
that. Can you name the categories again?
So the categories I mentioned were monetary, governance, or decision making, or whatever to call it,
environmental,
and then, like worker,
labor,
we said rights,
the private economy,
how the private economy is going to be regulated, how you say that.
What about, how do we engage with politics?
There's two halves.
So far, we're still in the, as far as I understand,
we are.
So does that cover? And then I also mentioned the communal ownership of property. So I think property ownership is a separate question from economics. But I could be wrong. Like, there are people who know, who understand. There's monetary, there's economic, there's ownership, there's governance.
Yeah, property ownership evolves from the government. The government gives the right for how property is going to be owned and exchanged. It does flow to the government, so it is very important how you deal with that.
So where does the tax system come in here?
And I would, I'd prefer that we all talk about it than that we split into groups, but it depends on what people
want.
Just to clarify, I wasn't actually saying that we split into groups.
Oh, I see.
Saying that we bucket the conversation so we can go in this arena, this domain, this.
And there's some areas of the commons that we didn't even mention here, which is that we think now, you know, because many of us are old enough to remember this, but the airwaves used to be remembered as a commons.
Exactly.
The people allowed radio stations and television stations and now internet people to use. And as long as you were doing it in the common good and you didn't work egregiously, you know, over whatever guidelines we put there. We gave up that. Now the government has totally privatized the whole broadcast spectrum.
There used to be a parody where you had to present both sides.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so if you, we need to reassert the public commons to the I don't know, you talk electronosphere.
Well, we define and reclaim the commons. So
we have protect and expand the commons.
And
that includes reclaim.
Redefine, yeah.
Electronic.
I think we have to redefine the commons and then reclaim.
Yeah.
Because we need to specify what's in the commons. I mean, there's also the cultural commons and there's the natural commons. So I think we need to put cultural and natural commons, or the commons of nature, because cultural commons has been appropriated as well.
I have a question about the parody. You were talking about parody for cops. There's a problem in the way that parodies have been used in the past.
I can't hear you, I'm sorry. Do you want to say family farms instead of agriculture?
Non-industrial agriculture.
Some families have industrialized agriculture, but it's one family. There are single families.
Well, the corporations, going back to corporations serving the common good. So that addresses that in a broad sense, which would include agriculture.
Moving the profit motive, like making sure that that profit motive is not allowed.
In terms of a vision.
Okay, let me give an example of how this got used. When they built a lot of water projects in California, it was argued that this would provide water for farms of up to 460 acres. And it turned out that actually, this is something about the agriculture, they were selling water to large corporate farms with a bunch of thousands of acres of size. The law said that it would go to the farm for less.
And that water was subsidized, too.
Yes.
So where are we at now?
We have two questions remaining. How do we engage in electoral politics? How do we engage in building new institutions of our society?
My understanding of when Caitlin came was the shift was to, that it's been 45 minutes and the shift is to item 6. I might be misunderstanding that, but... That's what I thought she meant when she came by, is the actions based on her vision.
Let me clarify, because I have a different
okay.
That I'm right.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Okay.
Let me clarify. You had a question before.
Well, I just wondered somewhere here where we talk about the economy, do we want to say something about monopolies? Because I think monopolies are what are killing a lot of the economy, as well as harms to nature and...
So protections against monopolies?
Monopolies. I don't know where we've got...
We don't have something that says monopolies.
No, I know, but under the corporate charter,
yeah, right,
anyway,
right.
Something about where
so protect
we have...
would protections against monopolies work?
What are you saying there?
The essence of the proposal that you gave, we can break this
monopolies.
Out and actually look at
laws
what
against well protection. Whatever
now
you
that
want
we
to
have
express.
Limited time,
okay.
Pick two or three things that are really foundational that we share, and then talk about how do we, what are our next steps, what are we going to do, take the movement through.
Can I just please add something though to our framework, the decriminalization of populations that are currently criminalized unjustly, such as drug users and sex workers. Like decriminalizing crimes of survival, basically, that are currently being used to build a huge criminal injustice system that in mass incarceration is like
emphasizing aid.
Exactly.
We need to emphasize aid for aid for people who are doing war
I think we have all this.
May not want to be aid over punishment. And I say aid, not treatment, because sometimes.
I want to present the question. I'm going to read the question of what we would need to engage with, and then do a quick exploration of what makes sense for this group. What we're engaging with is what is our plan to get to that world, our vision. You know, we have all the details. So what steps will we take to get there? What steps should our movements take? And what steps will we personally take? Here's the proposal that I would like to suggest, that we reflect our ideas and went down avenues and identified what's important of how we're going to engage. These are the tools and the tactics and the conversations that we have. This is the world that we're trying to create. So I would like to propose that we take a couple minutes and get a narrative of our vision, a shared narrative, so that we have have a shared definition on that, and then talk about how to, with these questions, how do we get there? How do we do that? Knowing that all of this stuff that we mentioned here will play a part in, and we can then ask the questions of what, how does it play, how do these elements play a part? Mm. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Does that feel good? So then we will start with, how do we summarize our vision?
I don't know how to summarize it more than that.
Let me rephrase this. I used the wrong word.
No, you're right.
How do we make an engaging sentence out of our vision? What is our mission statement, if you will, with this?
We seek to live in a society that... We seek or hope or want to live in a society that...
We will.
I would start out with, that recognizes people and other forms of life as having primacy over profits and control. I don't know how, there's better ways to say that.
Yes.
I don't know if it's possible to summarize it.
Okay.
You know.
Do you have a way that, a suggestion that how we could hold this?
I don't know how, I don't know.
Okay.
I can't believe that can be summarized.
There's a lot there, right?
Sorry, it just popped in my head. What about, like, one of the questions is what steps should our movement take, and what steps should we personally take? So, one thing about movements, they tend to, the movements of different people here and are focused in, they tend to be focused in certain directions. So maybe there are things in here that are jump out as somebody that already fit in the movement in some way.
I like that. Did you have any other? And kind of combining the two, this may be too big to take on in such a short time. It might be impossible to summarize. And knowing that there's people here already representing action that's happening, maybe we go around taking what we've heard and a personal experience and just answer the question. What steps should our movements take? And that can look anything from that we need to build bridges, you know, or that we can actually say, and then point at something that's already been written and say, but this is how we do it.
You know, one thing that strikes me about a lot of what we've said is, again, I come back to United Nations documents. I mean, there's so much in the United Nations documents, you know, the Human Rights Council, the Economic and Social and ECOSOC, you know, that, but it's the same problem of implementation. It's the same problem of how do you not only, I mean, it's a terrific statement of vision, which in fact a lot of what we've envisioned is embedded, but it's a matter of creating the structures and the systems that allow you to realize those. So I think that if we might focus on systems as much as the broad vision might be helpful, because